Good morning. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. Often I have the opportunity to open the Word of God and just share from my heart and from the Word. But every once in a while, we have folks visiting with us, as this morning, who will just share from God's Word some very important principles for our lives. Chris Carrillo is with us this morning. Chris, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Good
and
to be here.
Glad to have you here. Chris is a member at Brookside. And has a lesson that is entitled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, I'm looking around for Clint Eastwood and his big gun, but I don't see him. So, Chris, I guess we're talking about something else.
We certainly are, yes. But Clint Eastwood, the old Westerns, I kind of love that. And when I was reading through some of this text in my devotion time, somehow The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly kind of popped in my head.
Kind of popped out, and you said, okay, Clint, we're going to use that.
That's right.
Well, what in the world is the good and the bad and then the ugly?
Well, the good, we're going to see a good example of how to be a leader, how to respond in times of someone being in a sinful situation.
Okay.
We as Christians need to learn how to respond correctly. So that's the good, and we're going to see that today. We're also going to see the bad. We're also going to see how not to respond.
Okay.
When it comes to leadership and decision-making as a Christian. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to see the ugly. What really causes all of that?
I got you. Okay. So, folks, take your Bibles. And if you have an opportunity, just have a seat with a cup of coffee. If not, listen very carefully as Chris begins to share these principles with us.
Well, we're going to be in the book of Numbers today, Numbers chapter 16. And we're going to start out with the bad. I know it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we're going to start with the bad news, and we'll work our way through the good news. The bad is in Numbers 16, and we're going to learn about three people that give us a pretty good example of how we should not be behaving as Christians. That's Korah, Dathan, and Abram. We're going to see a real critical spirit coming from these folks. So if we start reading in verse 1, it says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, and the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, 'You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?' So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, 'Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take censers, Korah, and all your company, put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the men whom the Lord chooses is the holy one. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi.' Then Moses said to Korah, 'Hear now, you sons of Levi, it is a small thing to you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. Are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?' And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, 'We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, nor have given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.' Then Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, 'Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them.' And Moses said to Korah, 'Tomorrow you and all your company be present before the Lord, and you and they as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer.'" So here we have a pretty good uprising, if you will.
I'd say so.
In the camp of the Israelites. And in one day, pride swelled up in Korah. He and his two buddies, Dathan and Abram, along with a few Reubenites, rebelled against Moses. And he had 250 leaders of Israel, prominent men with positions in the council. You know, these weren't ordinary folks. These weren't common folks. These weren't just the soldiers. These were important people. Kind of reminds me of today's politics, you know, in the backroom campaigning. You know, they try and get the support for the votes that they need before they go before and they try and take over.
What starts out with three goes to 250, and then over in verse 19 it says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them. So that's exactly the way disgruntled people usually operate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You have somebody who's usually the leader, the disgruntled leader, and what do? They go and look for support.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing. He showed up with 250 leaders, and I'm sure he felt pretty emboldened with them standing
behind him.
And they came as a group, and they confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, who do you think you are, pal? I mean, you pushed us around long enough. We're going to take over here, and the entire community is holy, and God is in their midst, is what they said.
You know, that's amazing to me, Chris. Two chapters before, these guys are saying, all of us are holy. Two chapters before, in chapter 14, God's ready to kill them.
Right.
You know, in verses 4 to 12. Verse 22, it says, 10 times they've rebelled against the Lord. Verse 29, they had 100 funerals a day. Verses 36 and 37, 10 of the 12 spies died with the plague. It doesn't sound to me like they're very holy people.
Yeah. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it has anything to do with Moses and Aaron.
Exactly.
But it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, because that wasn't the first time that they murmured in their tents.
Uh-huh.
In Psalms 106:24, it alludes to that. It says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, they lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. So back in Numbers 14, again, as you mentioned, they were murmuring in their tents and rebelling.
Uh-huh.
So what we have, a couple of points that we can take away from this, right? So self-centeredness leads to pride, which leads to bitterness, which leads to destruction, as we'll see later on as we go through this text. The other point is Korah's self-centeredness caused him to lose a little bit of his perspective. He lost all perspective, if you will.
Say that again.
Korah's self-centeredness caused him to lose all perspective.
That's a very important point.
Yeah.
Self-centeredness, we lose all perspective.
Right. Yeah, we stop thinking about God's plan, we start thinking about our plan, and we can't really figure out the whole picture and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we see now in verses 18 through 35 just how God deals with that, right?
Right.
So in verse 18, it starts out saying, so every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting with Moses and Aaron, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation? And so the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. And then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart from the tents of these wicked men, touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all of their sins. So they got away from around the tents of Korah and Dathan and Abram. And Dathan and Abram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by a common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all of these words, that the ground split up apart from under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men of Korah with all their goods. And so they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed 250 men who were offering incense.
And those were the ones that were assembled together with the three leaders.
Exactly right.
Right.
So look back at verse 29. It says, if these men die naturally like all men. And that's really the key. So that was what Moses was saying. They rebelled against Moses. They challenged Moses. Thereby, they had challenged the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, these people rebelled against God.
Right.
And God said, you're going to see something that's not natural. And Moses said, and God will prove who his man is in this camp. And each time they rebelled and complained, Moses fell on his face before God and asked God to spare them. Well, the time came that they rebelled one too many times, and God finally had enough. And the words were hardly out of his mouth, out of Moses' mouth, when the earth split open. And the earth opened its mouth, and in one gulp, he swallowed them down, the men, their families, and all the big shots with them, along with everything that they owned.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of them, and they were pitched alive into Sheol, and the earth closed up over them. It's interesting that our sin doesn't always just affect us.
For sure.
You see these men who rose up, and they stood in the way between Moses and God's plan, and they stood in the doorway of their tent, but they weren't alone, were they? They
right.
were with their family.
Right.
They were with
right.
their kids. And fathers today, the actions that we take, very important.
Hebrews 12 even says that when a root of bitterness is springing up, it troubles you and defiles many.
Exactly. You know, and me as a father of six children, you know, my actions don't always just affect me.
Right.
And I have to be thinking of that. And we see here an example of a man who sinned, men who sinned, and their family paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know God's gracious, God's in control. We don't know, you know, the ultimate destination of some of those young children, right?
Right.
But we understand God's plan for them. But the principle is, as leaders and as parents, we need to be careful.
Right.
So what was it that their sin was judged for? I look at this and I see a few things. Murmuring, complaining, rebellion against God's chosen man, ultimately non-belief in God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
God is working through one man here for the good of all, and they rejected that man. In other words, they didn't like God's plan and how he is running things and who he chose to run them. And so, Pastor, what we've seen here was we've seen the bad. We saw the bad in Korah and his friends, but we also had a testimony, if you will, of good, and that was Moses. What was that? It was his response.
Right.
The response of Moses to the person, he said, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tabernacle of the meeting, and suddenly a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses came before the tabernacle, and they fell on their faces.
Before God.
Before God.
Right.
Again, as we read earlier, they fell on their faces when they rebelled. They fell on their faces when they were going to judge them. And here we have them falling on their faces on the next day. It wasn't 24 hours, and they were back to murmuring, backbiting, complaining after watching all of those people perish.
Yes.
So, again, God judging them, they ran away screaming in his judgment and soon forgot. So, the point here is how one responds to criticism is just as important as how one gives it.
That's a very important lesson for leadership, because all of us have leadership in certain areas, whether it be in our homes or whether it be in our churches or what. And we may not be able to control what our leader has said or done, but we sure can control how we respond. We'll continue this next time we meet together for the Word for Life. God bless you.